Father, we thank you, dear God, so much that the Lord Jesus Christ lives. We thank you for his holy written and anointed word. We thank you that the word of God is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Father, that as we look into your word, we get life. I thank you, Father, that life comes from the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit in this place today. I thank you for the ministering angels that come to help us. We praise you, Father, for your ability working in each one of us so that we can have a connection with heaven itself. And Lord, as each one hears the word this morning, I pray, God, that it would go deep within their spirits, that it would take root, it would germinate and begin to produce abundant fruit in their lives. I thank you, God, that you love these people. God, that these people are your treasure and that you want to honor them as they honor you. And so, Father, I thank you for your holy presence on us this day. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just believe that in your presence, every tactic that the enemy tries to use to harass us and hold us in bondage is broken in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that your presence releases people into freedom in Jesus' name, in every area, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for it now. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You know, for you especially who have considered this your church home, God has a calling on you. I believe God has a calling on everybody, but I'm speaking specifically for those who call this your church home. And one of the callings that you have as a part of this fellowship is that if you're to look at the bulletin, you would see that in one phrase there, it says that we are people who want to make the connection between the natural and the supernatural. And that simply means that we want to, in this natural realm, live as though there's another realm as well. That our grace and our hope and our peace and our joy and our provision actually comes from another realm. Not only this natural realm, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but last week I was speaking about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that we need would be added to us. All the things that we need on a daily basis would be added to us if we were diligent in seeking first the kingdom of God. If we were diligent in keeping the kingdom of God in focus in our lives, seeking it so that we would have that as our goal in life, to see the kingdom of God working in and through our lives, but also advancing the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:33, Jesus has declared that pretty clear. And we'll not read that right now, but I do want to read a scripture in Genesis chapter 28 in verse 17. If we were to go through that, we would find that Jacob is on the move. Jacob is a guy that's been traveling now, and he's actually going looking for a wife. But he's going to another land. And we know that Jacob was one of the guys that God used in Scripture tremendously to build a nation of Israel. And as he was moving along, he named it Bethel later on, but he got to a place and he was traveling and he laid down at night and he had a dream. And it was an interesting dream. It was a dream about heavenly beings. It was a dream about heaven. And it's clear from Scripture that it was a God dream. It was a dream that God gave him to give him some kind of confidence of where he was going. And he made an interesting statement after the dream in verse 17 of Genesis 28. And he woke up and he said he was afraid. And he said this. After he had the dream, he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Now, he had a dream about heaven. And he called that experience that he was in there, not only the geographical location that he was in, but also the experience that he had, he referred to it as the house of God or the gate of heaven. I want you to keep that in mind this morning, that there is a place where there is a gate of heaven, or where we can position ourselves into a place where we can hear from heaven. Jacob here found himself in an awesome position, being able to see into the spirit realm, to be able to have communication with the spirit realm, and he called it the gate of heaven. Now, I'm convinced from studying Scripture that as Jacob was used to establish the nation of Israel, and God did so many things in the Old Testament through the nation of Israel, and God really ministered to the world through the nation of Israel. Now, in this day and age, in the age that we live in the New Covenant age, in the New Testament age, in the time where Jesus has already gone and paid the price, that we live in a different place, and God is using the church today to speak to the world. And the church, I believe, is the gate of heaven today. I believe the church is, God puts the church in a place to be able to hear from heaven, and God is ministering to the world to the church. So if you're part of the church, God wants to use you to minister to the world and speak to the world. God knows the world needs to be spoken to. And so God uses the church to speak to the world. I want to speak about the church just a little bit this morning to give us kind of a concept of how important it is, because if we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to have all the things that we need added to us, then one of the things that we have to keep in the center of things is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be connected with the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. To me, Paul speaking, to me who am least and the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul was giving a mandate to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Say this with me, by the church. By the church. That the wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So we know here that God is saying that there's wisdom, there's mysteries that need to be made known by the church to the principalities and powers, or the insight that is to come to the world is to come through the church. The church is the vehicle that God is using to administer his wisdom to the world. Aren't you glad you're a part of the church? Amen. I'm thrilled to be a part of the church. Listen to this translation. It's from the translation that's called God's Word. He did this so that through the church he could let the rulers and authorities in heaven know his infinite wisdom. So again, the knowing of his infinite wisdom comes through the church, comes through the heavenly powers. Wayman's translation says this: in order that the church might now be used to display to the powers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Again, the wisdom of the ages is to come to the world through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:10 says this: of this salvation, he's talking about the salvation that we come into. Now let me just speak about that word salvation for a minute. It means more than just getting saved and making it to heaven. You know, when it comes to you and I receiving salvation, that word salvation encompasses far more than just making it to heaven. Far more than even just having your sins forgiven. The word salvation there in the Greek actually means deliverance from all the manifestation of the enemy. So anything that comes against you, whether it be in your body, whether it be in your mind, whether it be relationally, if there's things that come against you, salvation is included in that. When you bring people, sometimes, you know, we say somebody comes and receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we say they've come to salvation. Well, they may have come to salvation, all right. They may have come to the place where they have received the Lord Jesus Christ, where they have received forgiveness for their sins. But the working out of all their salvation is often a progression. In other words, they might find themselves later on being delivered from some things that they never even knew they were that was attached to them. I know that was the way with me. When I got saved, there was things that happened. When I gave my life to Jesus, when I said, Jesus, come into my life and save me. After that, there was things that dropped off of me that I didn't even know that were harassing me and hindering me tremendously. Pride was a big thing. And that's something that pride is something that you never end up not having to deal with it. I mean, you always have opportunity to be prideful. And we have to deal with it on a daily basis. But often when we come into salvation, pride has a hold on us, has a spiritual hold on us. And actually, we're in bondage to it. And we have to be come into a place of deliverance from that. And God comes in and releases us. One of the first things he does is expose us to pride to ourselves. And then he begins to work on us so that we can put it in its place, so that we can be free from that. So when Peter talks about salvation here, he's talking about deliverance from all the molestation of the enemy. And he said, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, that is to the prophets, it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us, the church. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Peter is saying here that there has been things ministered to you and I. The whole salvation message, the whole concept of being delivered from all the tactics of the enemy has been preached to you and I, and the angels long to look into it. They desire to see that because the angels don't have a real full understanding of salvation. They're used by God to help us to come to salvation, but the Bible says that they long to look, they desire to look into these things. Wayman's translation puts it this way. The angels long to stoop and look into these things. They long to look at the results or the effect that the salvation message has on the people that live here on the earth. They stoop to listen. They stoop to see what has taken place. I'm convinced that, you know, if you're thinking about this from a heaven's perspective, that the angels are seeing the word of God go forth. They're seeing the activities of God. They're seeing the power of God. And they're looking down from heaven, looking to see how it's influencing the mankind. And they're amazed. They're absolutely amazed. They're amazed at mankind to begin with. You know that? Angels are amazed at the creation that God made in man. We can look at the Psalms and see in chapter 8, the Bible says the angels are basically saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is this creature that you've made that's such an awesome creature? What is man that you would take time and minister to him, that you'd want to be with him? What is this creature, man, that you have created? We're special in God's eyes. Say, I'm special. We have to constantly realize that as these angels even long to look at what is happening. What things do the angels stoop to look at, and where are they looking? They stoop to look at the effects of salvation, and they're looking at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels are watching. They're looking at the church. They long to look into these things that pertain to salvation. Now, something, you know, when you think of that, you have to ask yourself a question. The Bible says, you know, that, well, Jesus said, speaking of little children, when he said, the angels are ever before the Father in heaven. Well, when we grow up, we don't lose our angels. The angels are still there. And they're looking at the church. So when you think of it, the angels like to go to church. Your angel likes to go to church. What's your angel do when you don't go to church? They go to church alone. Do you want your angel to be ever around you? Do you want your angel to influence you? Jesus said that the angels, our angels, are ever before the Father. And the Bible speaks to them about ministering to us. Well, if you want angelic activity in your life, start to take notice what angels desire to look into and to begin to look into them. Because angels influence many, many things in our lives. Excuse me. They are looking at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been given the mandate. We have been given the mandate and the equipment to demonstrate the kingdom of God on the earth. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they, angels mentioned in the previous verse, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation? In other words, angels are being sent forth to minister to you and I, because we are people who inherit salvation. You know, angels don't inherit salvation. You know, there's no redemption plan for the fallen angels. You remember that Lucifer fell from heaven and he took a third of the angels with him. There's no redemption plan for angels. There's a redemption plan for humankind, for you and I. God sent his only son into this world so that we could have salvation. We could be delivered from our trespasses. We could be redeemed from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. You and I have that privilege. And listen to the scripture concerning the angels. In Psalms 103, verse 20, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." Heeding the voice of his word. So the angels are ever looking to hear what the Lord is saying, what the word of the Lord is. And when they hear it, they endeavor to fulfill the word of the Lord. Now, what happens when the church speaks the word of the Lord? What happens when the church begins to speak the things that God says about them? What happens to the church? What do the angels do when they hear the church saying that we are the body of Christ, that we are in relationship with God, that we are in covenant relationship with him, that Jesus Christ took our sins and cast them away from us as far as the east is from the west? What are the angels involved in? What are the angels doing when they hear the church say and recognize that we are a holy people, a separated people unto God, that we are a special people carrying out kingdom works upon the earth? I believe when they hear the church saying those things, they endeavor to do what they can in order to carry out the word of the Lord, if we're involved in spreading the word of the Lord.